We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Pastor Kevin Akins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm alive and well. Fired up and powered up.
Come on. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. If you would like to be put on the book blessing wheel for the month of May, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. And the book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams. And there's a foreword in there by Zig Ziglar.
Yeah, good deal.
And you can even do it later.
Yeah.
I do get notifications on the phone when someone comments.
Yeah, cool.
So
great.
Get her done, y'all. Would you pray to start us out, sir?
Let's do that. Let's pray to begin with. Father God, we thank you for a beautiful Monday morning, Lord. We thank you for a beautiful weekend, a great time in your presence, Lord, at the church service. Lord, I know that your presence is with us always, but how great it is to get together with people of like precious faith and let your anointing just flow. So today, Lord, in this open arena, we pray, Lord, as we speak your word, I pray that you give us boldness to declare your word completely, fully, and holy the way that you want it to go forth. Father, I pray that today let your words pierce into the hardened hearts so that it can be tooled and teared up so that it can stay and penetrate and make ways. Lord, I pray today that you will help us to declare your purpose and your glory, Lord. Help us to change those things that can be changed and to remain stable those things that need to be remained. And we will give you the glory and the praise through all things. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, 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 amen,
amen,
amen, amen, amen.
I like the title.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I have to put my feet up on this one or not. Creature of Habit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, it goes both ways. It works both ways. It's a great saying. It's something that we all struggle with, whether we want to admit it or not, and that is one of the weakest links, is admitting the fact that we have a habit that needs to be changed. We are creatures of habit. It's the way that God made us. It's the way that we are formed, and it's the way that we're fashioned. But, you know, when we take a look at it and we get a little bit deeper into things, there is two opposing factors here. Some of us have bad habits that need to be broken, and some of us have a lack of good habits that need to be established. And I want to try, within the next few minutes, to address both of those if I can, if I don't get carried away with it. But just to start with, to note, we are creatures of habit. That's just what we are. It's where it falls into our lives. And when we recognize that we have a bad habit, our problem is that we let it linger, let it linger, let it linger until it becomes dominant in our life. And once that habit becomes dominant, it is so hard to break. And it goes from everything. So I don't want anybody thinking that I'm picking on just particular individuals today. I'm not picking on it. I'm going to use some examples through there. And I want to be careful when I say that I'm not picking on particular individuals. We all have bad habits. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about smoking or alcohol or pornography, which seem to be dominant, or even the gambling habit, which seems to be dominant. These are ones that people say, well, those are addictions. Guess what? They started as a habit. And then later became so dominant that they become an addiction. But I'm not just picking on that. There's other problems that people have. I'll give you one. This is a simple one that people don't even think about, and it's on me. I'm going to talk about my bad habit. Are you ready for this? You can mark it down. A pastor has a bad habit. Here we go. Are you ready? I have a bad habit of rolling through a stop sign. My goodness. I don't know why. I just don't like stop signs. I pull up to them. I look both ways. They ought to be yield signs. I mean, stay alert to traffic and go, okay, that looks very clear. Let's move on. Just roll through. Well, you create a habit of that without thinking about it. You're going to pull up to a stop sign, make a right-hand turn. You never really stop. You just kind of cruise through it and just kind of go around. You'll do that until you get about 3 tickets, and then you go, I got to break that habit. That habit has to stop right now, you know, and so that's the whole point of it. I got to stop, break the habit, choose not to roll through that intersection. Nothing's coming. Put on the brake. Stop. You got to mentally make that choice. You know, the psychologists say that, I find it funny, they say it only takes about 21 days to break a habit. That 21 days to break a habit actually comes from a book that was entitled Psycho-Cybernetics. It was written in 1960 by a guy named Maxwell. And I'm thinking, it's still on the list today. Psychiatrists still tell you it only takes 21 days to break a habit. If you wanted, I went back, I looked that book up. I wanted to find out, where's this really coming from? He was a plastic surgeon that said it took people about 21 days to recognize their new face after he created a new face for them. And I'm like, why do we look at this and use it as a pattern today for 21 days breaks a habit? It's not true. Don't fall into that. A more recent study out of a university out of London created a new saying out of many tests. They tested over, let's see, I had it in my notes. They tested over 100 different people for a 12-week period of time and found out that habits generally take anywhere from 66 days to 254 days to break a habit. That's almost a half a year. So, and then in deeper research of this, I found out that what happens is people go, well, it only takes 21 days to break a habit. So after about 3 weeks of trying a new habit or trying to break a habit, they give up and they quit because they've got it in their mind. This should have already taken place. This should have quit. It doesn't work that way. In order to really break an old habit, you have to replace it with a different habit, and you have to create priority stimulants in your brain to say, this on my right side is more important than that on my left side, so what's on my right side is going to take place on my left side, and that's the only way you're going to break a habit. Now, with all of that mumbo-jumbo said, someone says, man, is he a psychologist or is he a pastor? I'm a pastor. I'm just telling you natural effects of our lives that get into these problems that we end up staying with bad habits instead of creating new habits. We'll end up sleeping extra 15 minutes a day just so before we wake up, knowing that we've got just 7 minutes to get dressed and 7 minutes to get to work, and we get locked into that habit instead of creating a new habit that says, no, I'm going to wake up 15 minutes earlier, and I'm going to give 7 minutes to God, then 7 minutes to get ready, and 7 minutes to get to work. Instead of doing that, no, we have the bad habit of sleeping a little bit later. Someone asked me one time as a pastor, said, what is a really good sacrifice? If somebody wanted to sacrifice something today, I said, set your alarm an hour earlier. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's why it's a sacrifice. The deepest sleep that you will have all night long is the 1 hour before your alarm goes off. It's incredible. The hardest time to wake up is the 1 hour before your alarm goes off. Try just waking up an hour early, you're not going to Six Flags. You're not going on vacation. There's no priority for you to wake up. Oh, no. You could sleep that extra hour before you go to work. People won't give it up. They don't want to break that habit. It's amazing how experts have determined, even today, that if somebody truly wants to replace a bad habit with a good habit, it depends on several different areas. Number one, it depends on their own personality. Their personality of that individual, how they're going to change, what's going to happen with that. Are they a person that allows change to come into their life? Are they a person that will allow the point of view of somebody else? Are they a person who can accept a change? The second thing is motivation. What is the motivation behind the change? If a person is not personally motivated to change, the only reason why there is a question about releasing a bad habit and creating a new habit, if the only reason for that is because you've got a mother figure standing over your shoulders telling you, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change, it will never happen. They will change their character to impress that individual, but their habit remains the same. So what is the motivation? Does that person take it on personally that they want to change that in their life? And then the other thing is circumstances. It's amazing how many people will quit smoking when they finally go to the doctor and the doctor says you've got 10% of your lungs left, and if you smoke another pack of cigarettes, you're done. They will eventually make that change in their heart. And it's amazing how many times it doesn't deal with their lungs or their breathing. It's when they cuts off their circulation to the extremities of their body and they start losing their feet and losing their hands and losing their nose. That's when people will stop smoking finally. It creates a circumstance that says, if I don't change, then I'm not going to live. If I don't change, then this isn't better. For me, let's bring it back to the lighter side. After my third ticket of rolling through an intersection, I said, if I don't change, I'm going to keep getting tickets because the cops are watching this corner all the time. They know I roll through it all the time. I got to change. You have to change those habits because of the circumstances. And then the last one is, it's a habit in question. What are you really wanting to change? If the bad habit isn't all that bad and the good habit isn't all that influencing, then it's not going to change. People don't want to do it. So how do we apply this into the Bible? How do we put this back in a godly relationship? If we are creatures of habit and it takes so much problem to take the bad habit out and put a new habit in, I want to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And today I'm looking at this one passage of scripture that a lot of people mark it in their Bible. They like it when they read it. They go, that is so cool when Paul says that. The problem is that majority of people don't even understand what Paul is really saying. In chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, we begin with verses 17, 18, and 19. In these three verses of scripture, Paul says, the first thing you have to do is exclude the old habit. You have to put the old habit out of the way. You have to change things. Let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19. My Bible reads this way. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Don't go over that so fast. Think about what he's saying. If it was an Old Testament prophet, he would say, for the word of the Lord says. If it was a modern day preacher, he would say, hear the word of the Lord. Pay attention to what God is saying. Let me testify to you what the Lord says. This is truly not written in red as of this is the words of Jesus, but this is the words of God, a prophet that says, God is speaking to my heart and he's declaring to you, and I testify to you, this is from the Lord. Look what he said, how strong this is, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You should no longer walk like the rest of the world. You've got to change your pattern of how you live. You've got to change your pattern of characteristic. You've got to change your pattern of life in the futility of their mind. This is what God says. God says there's a group of people that are stuck in their mindset of how they think that you ought to act and how you think you ought to do. I love the old evangelist that used to come through, and he said it one time, and all the other evangelists didn't pick up on it. I even used it time and time. This is the day and time that you got to stop the stinking thinking. We just have stinking thinking because of all of our thoughts are, they just go in the trash. We think trash thoughts, and it's time to change that mindset, change that stinking thinking. Let me go on because I got to. The futility of the mind, verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Look, it's not your own fault that you're stuck in a bad habit routine. It's your understanding that has been darkened. And that is the plot of the devil. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to keep you in the dark of the good things that could be taking place and have you continue in the bad things that are happening in your life. Let me go on. Look at this. This next part of verse 18 scares me. It scares me. Being alienated from the life of God. This is what God is saying. God is saying, as long as you allow those bad habits to continue in your life, you're being alienated from the life of God. Now, hold on. Don't turn that knob off. don't click past this yet. Think about what this is saying. This is not saying that God doesn't love you anymore. This is saying that God loves you so much that he's got great things in store for you. He's got a great purpose for your life. He has a great future of hope for you. But as long as you stay stuck in a bad habit of sinful things in your life, then you are the one that's staying behind. You're the one alienating your life from God. You're the one that's staying backwards. God's got so much more for you in the step forward, and you have to choose to exclude that bad life and move forward with God. Otherwise, you can never experience the fullness of what God has for you. You can never experience the full relationship that God has opened for you as long as you continue the bad habits in your life. Let me go on. I want to go just a little bit farther because of the ignorance that is in them. Nobody likes to be called an idiot. Nobody does. And I get that. But even in the scripture, God says it's the ignorance. It's the unknown that you don't want to face. There's new habits that God wants you to create, but it's the fear of the unknown that holds you from it. It's the darkness that holds you from it. You'll read scripture and God will say, if in your boldness, if you'll take this step forward, then I'm going to do great things for you. But it's that unknown of what that next step is. It's that unknown of what God's going to ask you to do that keeps you back from that. It's the ignorance of that that keeps you held back. And then he says, it's that darkness that overshadows you. It's the plot of the devil that keeps you locked into your bad habit. You've got to break out of that. Look at this last verse 19, very, very clear. Being past feeling, you've done it so long. This is the product of habits. You've done it so long, there's no more of feeling. There's no more of a shame behind it. When you were a kid and you were told not to smoke and you were told you're going to get in trouble if you smoke, even from your parents that smoked, they told you, if I catch you smoking, you're going to be grounded. You can't do that. I don't want you to be a smoker. You can't do that. And what did you do? You went around behind the back of the house, behind the barn, and you stole one of Dad's cigarettes, and you lit it up anyway, and you had a shame. And what'd you do? You tried to cover up the smell. You tried to stop it from your breath. You tried to eat a mint, all that kind of thing. Next thing you know, Mom's at the door. Supper's ready, and you're going, oh, man, I just got through smoking. I got to cover it. You felt guilty. But today, you don't care. You don't care. You don't care who smells it. You don't care who does. That's what he means. You're past the feeling of it. You're past the conscious feeling of it. Have given themselves over to lewdness, which just simply means the disrespect of any law, of any pattern, of any good thing. You've just given yourself over to that, to work all uncleanness and greediness. In other words, simply put, you brought it into of I care about me, myself, and I don't care about anybody else. That's what bad habits create. Even the simple bad habits. Think about it. I'm just rolling through the stop sign. I don't care what the law is. I'm just rolling through the stop sign. I don't care that I've got my granddaughter with me and she sees me rolling through it and she's learning the same pattern. I don't care because it's all about greediness. It's all about fitting me, myself, and I don't want to stop. I don't have time to stop. I got to just keep rolling on through. I hope you're hearing this, because the habit that you do, if it's a bad habit, all of them do the same thing. Every bad habit rolls through the intersection without paying attention to whoever else is watching or seeing. And Jesus says this, we've got to exclude the habit. Jesus said, learn what this means. Jesus said, learn from me. Jesus said, learn what the parable is all about. If that's what Jesus is telling us to do, then isn't it the same here, right here, where Paul says, I testify from the word of God. I testify from his own lips. Learn what this means. No longer walk as the old Gentiles walk. No longer live like the old way of life. You've got to choose to come out of that. You've got to choose to stop doing the bad habit. You've got to choose to do the right habit. 236 references in our Bible that talks about walking. 236 different references in our Bible talk about walking. And all of those 236 references refer to don't walk that away. Choose a new way to walk. 236 times he tells you to get away from the old and get into the new. But we say, Lord, I love you. I surrender to you. Today, I want salvation to come into my heart. And God says, hallelujah, by a free gift, just an exceptionally awesome, powerful, free gift. Boom, you're forgiven. The old life is gone. We can't change yesterday. But if we do what's right today, we have a chance to affect tomorrow. You're forgiven. It's done. Now what do I do? Change. Don't walk the old way. Start walking the new way. Okay, God, you change me and I'll start walking the new way. That's not what he said. He said, I'll forgive you. You choose not to walk the old life. You choose it. I'll change you every step of the way that you take. I'll start changing you. Every time you take a new step forward, I'll change you. Every day it's going to be easier. Okay, God, this is where people make a mistake. Okay, God, I'll give you 21 days, and if it don't change, I'm done. I'm going back. Where's that come from? That's not scriptural in any way whatsoever. Don't be ignorant in this. Man, that sounds so bad. Don't be the ignorant person that says, I'm not giving it a chance. I heard what mama said. I heard what the preacher said. Then this is what I'm going to do, and I'm only giving you 21 days, and we're done. It doesn't work that way. Stay with it. You know the right pattern. You know the right habit. Stay with it. It's so easy to say, I couldn't make it. I couldn't take it. I couldn't fix it. It's so easy to say, I can't learn a new trick. I can't do a new thing. Do y'all know what a pet peeve is? A pet peeve is something that aggravates you, but you continually let it aggravate you. That becomes a pet. It's a pet peeve. And we really shouldn't have pet peeves, but I have a pet peeve. I don't know why it is that it just bugs me so bad when I hear somebody say, I just can't learn new stuff. I go, oh, yes, you can. I don't see a 1960 model vehicle one in our parking lots anywhere. And I don't think anybody... See how old you are. I don't think anybody stomps the floorboard anymore to change from load beam to high beam on your vehicle. You can learn new tricks. I don't see very many. I do visitations. I go into homes. I haven't seen a rotary phone used in I can't remember when. I don't remember the last time I saw. I don't remember seeing it used anymore. That's. No, you can learn new things. The question is, do you want to? The question is, are you going to allow it? You've got to get to the place where you say, this makes a difference to me. This is important to me. This does matter to me. You know, in the scripture, he said they have gone past feeling, being past their feelings. You know, let me, with the heart of a pastor, say, I don't want people to feel guilty, but I wish people feel guilty again. I understand that. I I don't like that feeling, and I don't want to put that on anybody, but I wish that we had an awareness conscious about us that it does affect the people that are around us. It affects people that we love. It affects people that we care about, even sleeping that extra 15 minutes long so you have to hurry and do the 7-minute rule routine instead of going to work, and then you get to work and you're tired and everything hurts and everything's wounded in there and you're just going, it's another. And then you have a week of Mondays. Oh, how frustrating that becomes. You know, I don't want that kind of feeling on people. I want people to feel, you know what, this is not right, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to start doing something good. And this goes everywhere from our eating habits. Whoa, I get in trouble with that. Either with our eating habits, our sleeping habits, our awareness habits, our talking habits, our vocabulary habits. It's all there. Where's the feeling in between there anymore? You know, this is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he said, this is one of the things that people struggle with the most, speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, I just don't act like Jesus. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Oh, I believe in God, I just don't love my brother. How can you love your brother? How can you hate your brother and say that you love God? How is that possible? It's hypocrisy. Paul said, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Did he know what he was talking about? He knew exactly what he was talking about. He worked with leather. He knew the searing of it. He knew the branding of it. He knew the importance of it. He knew what that was about. The Paul knew that in the old life, in the old Gentile world, it was a heathen world. They practiced a lot of idolatry. They practiced a lot of adultery. They practiced a lot of chemical imbalancing of the brain. Drugs are nothing new, folks. It's been on the earth for many, many years. And that's what the Gentile world was locked in. And that's what they would do. And Paul was saying, your heart has been petrified. Your heart is hardened to where it's not that you don't care about what happens to you. You don't care about what happens to the people around you. This is the part that hurts so much. We've got a bad habit and we let our anger override and we don't care who it hurts. And we just say whatever's on. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And it makes you feel better, but it destroys that young person that you just told was an idiot. It doesn't work that way. Where's our conscience about caring about other people anymore? Where's the consciousness that cares about how other people are feeling? Our bad habits create more bad habits. Our bad habits stimulate others' bad habits. Our bad habits help others create bad habits. There's nothing good about our bad habits. Therefore, we must exclude the old walk, the old way, the old habit. We are creatures of habit, but we need to change. So I've talked to you about getting rid of the old one. Would you like to hear about bringing on the new one? Then let's do it. Let's look at it. But wait a second. It's halfway through. Time of prayer. Great place.